don't care where you go, you can't hear better than that. That's our Judy and Kathy. What do you think, Janie?
Very good.
Well, I just think we're so blessed. That's all I can say. We're blessed. In so many, many ways. And our speaker or talker, I don't know which one he wants to be called. I like to be called a talker because I think I'm not much of a speaker, but I am a talker, you know? But this man is absolutely pure love. There's nothing else you can say except this man is just pure love, and I know God just must jump up and down and clap his hands for our George Thorne.
Kevin in the back knows me well. He said, well, George, you bring a 20-page speech with you. And I didn't. We all be glad to hear. I kicked the bucket. Boy, first Kathy and Judy and then Millie. Boy, you lose your thunder, you know. Tonight, though, I'd like to talk to you about some things that are very special to me. And I'd like to talk to you about butterflies and gratitude and miracles. And first thing I want to say is I stand before you as the world's biggest butterfly, and I want you to look at me closely because you won't find any bigger. And I'm ready to soar, and I'm ready to fly, and I'm ready to take off. But it hasn't always been this way, because for most of my life, up until about a year and a half ago, I was a lowly caterpillar. And I took some paths and did some things early on in my life that weren't the right things, and things happened. And I know now that it was not what happened, but the path that I chose, the decisions that I made as a result of that. But some of that later. What I want to talk to you now is about the changes that I have made and what has happened to me over the last little over a year, and how much of it I owe to this church. It was, I think, March or April of last year, Dave Hamill found me and must have thought I needed some spiritual connection of some sort, probably because I told him I needed some spiritual connection. And he brought me to this church only to meet Reverend Millie. But only rather than introduce me to Reverend Millie in Sunday church or even in Wednesday church, he puts me in the middle of Reverend Millie's Tuesday night class. And that was quite a whole new experience for me. It was something that I had never witnessed before. And never having been part of the church, having still been a lowly caterpillar, I saw things and witnessed things and experienced things that were beyond my wildest imagination. And it was all wonderful. And I received messages, was given messages. I heard people from my family from the other side. And it was all wonderful. And I, for the first time, was introduced to mediumship in a spiritual way, and it was something that was really quite profound for me. And through it all, and what I learned from it, and what it all came to me, was that for the first time in my life, I accepted God. I understood God because I saw God. And God has become a very important part of my life. And that's why I think today I'm on the path to becoming a butterfly. And one of the things I wanted to say tonight is, how do you thank someone for introducing you to God? How do you put that into words? Because it's pretty big and it's pretty important, at least in my life, because up until then, I had denied that. I had denied that part of me. And it was something truly profound. And to this, I owe Reverend Millie so much. She is my teacher. She is my master teacher. And I thought before, on the way coming tonight, some things occurred to me that I'd had a chance in my earlier life to visit the great cathedrals of many of the great cathedrals of Europe. And I'd been to St. Peter's Basilica in Rome and Westminster Abbey in London. and Chartres Cathedral in the south of France and others. And I saw their magnificence and I saw their power, but I never felt God. I never felt the love. They were big buildings and they were magnificent, but there was nothing special about them. And I also thought that had I been introduced to God from anyone else, I probably wouldn't have bought it. Because she doesn't come with fancy robes, she doesn't sit on a throne, she talks very plain and simple, and I believe it. And the wisdom that comes out of her is awesome. And I so appreciate that. I so appreciate that. And that there's a lot of people in this church that have helped me become a butterfly, and tonight I'd like to acknowledge another, and that's Reverend Rita. I've had the opportunity to work with Reverend Rita in her work, and I can tell you that she's gone through a program over a course of 2 years to become a certified integrative life coach. And she basically helps people go to the next level of their lives. And she helped me go to the next level of my life. She helps you look at all aspects of your life and your personal and your relationships and your spiritual sides and your business and everything. And pull them all together to speak powerfully in one voice and stand tall. And the transformation for me has been wonderful. While I'm the world's biggest butterfly, I used to be a 747 butterfly. I've now trimmed down to a 727. I've lost about 40 pounds. I'm working out about an hour a day. I've totally changed my business around, and I have business opportunities in front of me that are beyond my wildest dreams. So I want to say, Rita, thank you, and I want to honor you publicly for the work and the help. And I want to honor and recognize all the ministers of this church, Reverend Helene and Reverend Connie, for the help they gave me in the healing program, Patty Walsh, for whom I think is so gifted spiritually, and even Reverend Jeff, whom I've gotten to know. And he is so dedicated and behind this church and so committed to its growth. And I was telling Jeff the other day something about how do I thank Reverend Millie, and I wanted to tell her something that he said to me because I think it's so wonderful and shows how he feels about you. I said, how do you thank someone for helping you find God? And he said, George, there's only one answer. What she wants for you, what she wants for all of us, is to become all that we can be. And I thought, what a wonderful thing for him to say. And how much he loves you, and how much he means to this church. And so I stand before you, and all that this church has brought to me, in total gratitude for what I have had happen to me and what I have gone through. And you almost might say it's a miracle. And miracles are what I'd like to focus on tonight, and in order to do so, I need your help. I would like to ask you, and if you will, just please raise your hand, how many of you believe in miracles? I would think so in this church, I expected. I was disappointed. But the big question is, how many of you think you've seen a miracle? Wow, very good. In trying to figure out what I wanted to really share with you tonight, I thought, and usually I'm not at a loss for words, but I couldn't figure out how to articulate it. And one night, as I was getting ready to go to bed, on my nightstand, there was a book that had been there for about a year, and it had just sat there and talked about a God story. And I'd never paid attention to it because it was an old self-help book, and I thought, you know, one more. It was by a man by the name of Og Mandino, and the name of the book is The Greatest Miracle Ever Told. And that was a week ago, and since then I've read it three times. It just lit me up. I'm so excited about it. But the biggest reason I am is what the words are in there has helped me understand, I think, what the draw is to this church for so many of us and what it has brought us. And the words are so beautiful and so profound. The essence of his story is that many of us lead our lives, we turn to alcohol, we turn to drugs, we've gone through bad stuff. We're still the caterpillars, not wanting to be butterflies because we have low self-esteem. Now, there's nothing magic about that. That's no big word. But his antidote for it, his solution for it, I think is really quite profound, and that's what really caught my heart. He talks about the notion that why the world has so much low self-esteem is that we've lost our love and our connection with God, and we think that this is all there is. And as one man put it that I read, you know, we come into this world, so many of us, and we think there's nothing, and then we're here, and we live, and then there's nothing, and we die, and there's nothing. He said, if you think about that, that really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But nonetheless, this is how I used to believe. For the majority of my life, this is what I believe. I'm here all alone. And to know that there is something greater is where the change begins to happen. But he goes on to talk about self-esteem and low self-esteem and what it is that we do to ourselves and how that we turn that in on ourselves because we think we're all alone and there's no one here other than us. And we never meet our own expectations. And we turn on ourselves and we literally become prisoners in our own self-despair and doubt. And we refuse to accept anything good about ourselves. And again, he talks about the notion that it's because we have no connection. We lose the belief in ourselves because we've lost the belief in God. And I think it is such a wonderful, meaningful message. He goes on to say that if we look at it in the right way, that out of our deepest failures, out of all of our setbacks, comes our greatest strengths. But not many of us are willing to look at it that way. And he talks about the blindness of Beethoven, the blindness of Ray Charles, the polio that brought on to President Roosevelt. So many people in our lives have gone on to do great things, and they've all come out of their darkest moments, and they've turned it around. And he talks about the notion that once we have been through bad times, once we've been through tough times, for the first time, we can let go of the conceit that we're not perfect. That we have something truly to give and to share because we have insight and we have understanding. And this, I know in my life, is very true. And it's something that I think is just so profound if we can really get our arms around it. And just this afternoon, I was given perhaps the greatest example at all. There is a Navy ship now being built that is being built out of the steel from the World Trade Center. Now, I don't care what your party affiliation is. That's my concept of America. You talk about building strength out of your weaknesses. To forge a terrorist ship, to combat terrorism from the steel that came from the World Trade Center. And this email talked about the notion of what these big steel workers, they handled the steel as if it were sacred. They handled it with loving hands because they knew what they had. They knew what they were forging into greatness. That is, and I can't remember the name of the ship, but the motto is, lest we never forget. And I think that is such a powerful example of what it is that I'm trying to say to you. And in his book, in the conclusion of his book, there is an extraordinary fable. Actually, he calls it a memo from God. And it's a memo from God to you. And the words are so wonderful that I'd just like to share a little of it with you. A memo from God to you. Take counsel. I hear your cry. It passes through the darkness, filters through the clouds, mingles with starlight, and finds its way to my heart on the path of a sunbeam. Know that I hear you. Be at peace. Be calm. I bring thee relief for your sorrow, for I know its cause and cure. You weep for all your childhood dreams that have vanished with the years. You weep for all of your self-esteem that has been corrupted by failure. You weep for all of your potential that has been bartered for security. You weep for all of your individuality that has been trampled by mobs. You weep for all of your talent that has been wasted through misuse. You look upon yourself with disgrace, and you turn in terror from the image you see in the pool. Where is the grace of your manner, the beauty of your figure, the quickness of your movement, the clarity of your mind, the brilliance of your tongue? Weep no more. I am with you. And this moment is the dividing line of your life. All that has gone before is no more. What is past is dead. Let us bury the dead. This day, like unto Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, I command you to come forth, and you will walk from your cave of doom to begin a new life. This is your birthday. This is your new date of birth. Your first life, like unto a play of theater, was only a rehearsal. This time the curtain is up. This time the world watches and waits to applaud. This time you will not fail. Feel my hand on your hand. Attend to my wisdom. Let me share with you again the secret that you heard at your birth and forgot. You are my greatest miracle. You are the greatest miracle in the world. Wipe away your tears. Reach out. Grasp my hand. Let me cut the grave cloths that abound you. This day you have been notified. You are the greatest miracle in the world. And so to you, I say, everything that I've said tonight, if you take one thing away, I hope it is that you are the greatest miracle in the world. And that you have, and we are that, when we realize the connection that we have with Spirit, we have with God. And if you believe that, I will then tell you that Reverend Millie and Reverend Rita and all the ministers of this church are miracle workers, because they want to work with us to be all that we can be. And what could be a greater purpose on earth than to that? And if you have any doubts, and if your self-esteem does begin to dwindle, let me give you a thought. Why not think of the term as God esteem? Because if you hold God near in your life, then you are going to, chances are pretty good, your self-esteem is going to improve too. I know that we butterflies believe that. And thank you very much. And then I wanted to introduce the other half of my team. I will take credit for this, for inviting them, Kathy and Judy again. Because one reason I always ask them, they're a great part of my spiritual family. And I also believe so much that music is such an incredible part of this church. And I think these two are just remarkable people and are very dear to me. So.
Do this for about 8 or 9 months, so we finally get to give her her wish.